Morning. Turn with me this morning, your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. It is December. This is our English service for the month of December. So we're going to talk a little bit about Luke chapter 1 and the Christmas story today. Some might say this is a little early. Some might say it's right on time. Some people might say you could do Christmas year round. It'd be okay with them. It just depends on who you're talking about, doesn't it? I know some people would be fine if you did it all year round. They'd be happy. And other people would be fine if you just did away with it. It's just a trouble to their life sometimes. But Christmas is different to different people. Depends on where you're at, what place in the world, different cultures. Those of us who've been in Japan, Japanese, or those who've lived here for a while, and we begin to learn a little bit about it, it's different here than it is what we're used to in America. Here it has a different meaning, not nearly as strong a meaning as it would to those of us from America, for example, or even other countries, Europe or South America. It just depends on where you are. Totally different perception in places. Has a very important meaning in some places. It means presence. Well, that's important, isn't it? It's the most important aspect of the whole thing. Depending on, how old you are, what your age is, or maybe not. Maybe when you get older, it's that same thing. Maybe it means trees, or means parties, or means decorations. But we all think of different things. Today we're going to think about Mary. This morning for the next few moments. The Lord's mother, Mary. I don't know what that may mean to each individual person. Maybe you don't know anything about her. Maybe to some people, maybe to you, maybe to some of us, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she's just a character in a play or a figure in a nativity scene. We've got several nativity scenes here in the church this morning, and you'll always find Mary there next to the baby, sitting there. We want to think about her this morning. We've been, for the last several months, for English service, we've been talking about different people who met the Lord. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see different people who met the Lord, how He impacted their life. When anyone directly met Jesus, at least in our accounts in the Gospels, of course the Bible tells us there's so much more than what is written here. If it was all written, one book couldn't contain it all, but from what we know, anyone who met the Lord, He impacted their life. Sadly, not all believed on Him. Sadly, some rejected Him. But He had an impact. Sure. Certainly, most certainly, Mary met the Lord, didn't she? She was His mother. According to the Bible, Luke chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. This is Mary. She would have her child, right? And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they look down at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. This was the address to the shepherds. After the birth of the Lord, this is who that baby was. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Savior was born. And Mary was His mother. So going back to Luke chapter 1, where I asked you to turn with me, I'm going to read verses 26 through 37, and we're going to think about Mary for a few moments this morning. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto thee the throne of his father David. Verse 33, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was also called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And we'll stop there for right now. So what do we know about Mary? Let's go back and begin at the first part of where I read there. Verse 26, the angel Gabriel appears to a woman in the city of Nazareth. Verse 27 says, "But to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David." And the virgin's name was Mary. Our introduction to Mary here in the Bible. What do we know about her? It says she was espoused. We don't use that word a whole lot today in English anyway. Not to my English. Not yet married, but promised is basically the meaning here. Oftentimes during this time, they would have already been called a husband and wife in the culture in this era. But they didn't live together as husband and wife. The wife would have been given to the husband as his wife, and they were considered that in the community, as a husband and a wife, but they lived separately. She would probably still live with her parents or wherever she was living with her relatives. Very different culture than what I'm used to. There may still be places in the world that do that today, but I'm not aware of them. I'm sure there are. Again, it's a big planet. A lot of cultures on the planet today. But anything I'm used to, this is not anything that probably the most of us are used to. But they were considered to be married. You didn't just walk away from this kind of a relationship. You know, in our mindset, at least in my mindset today, I understand it this way. We don't understand this espoused meaning. We have the idea of an engagement. And a man or a woman would become engaged. And if they decided to break that off, it wasn't necessarily like a joyous thing, but you could walk away from that because it wasn't yet that commitment. But at this point in time, to be espoused, again, meant to be the same as being married. You just didn't walk away from that relationship. So this is where we find Mary here. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Promised to this man already. This was her future. What else do we know about her? Well, most people today say, oh, Mary was a young woman. Now, I won't argue with that. Of course, the Bible doesn't tell us her age. But we just know by cultural understanding that she probably was a young woman. Had not yet been with men and not been married yet before. And so in those days, short of some serious problem, women married very young. And so probably young, a teenager, maybe. Yeah, don't know the exact age. But we do know that she was a young lady of some young age, not yet married, living in the city of Nazareth, where it was prophesied that he would come from. Betrothed, engaged, if you will, to marry this man named Joseph, her future husband. No doubt that she was looking forward to this future life. I was reading after someone, it was really interesting what people write, what we as people write about things. And someone was writing, I was reading about this, someone's perception story. They were saying, no doubt, Mary was excited and making wedding plans. Well, I don't know about all that. I don't know how excited she was. Maybe she didn't like Joseph. Maybe he was ugly. You know, I don't know for sure. You know, I don't know. But no doubt, I imagine, if I might say it that way, that she was excited about married life. Married life brought with it, even today, but even more so in this culture, new responsibilities. The mother and the wife in the household had a lot of responsibilities. So Mary was going to grow into this new job, if you will, new responsibilities, become the head of parts of this household and take on the responsibilities of being Joseph's wife and live in the home with him and be the mother of his children if God blessed him with children. No doubt, she's looking forward to this. And then one day, what happens? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Look at verse 20. An angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Let's stop there for just a moment. Now, angels don't just speak to everyone. They didn't speak to everyone then. I mean, people weren't commonly walking down the street and just, you know, angels would appear to people and speak to them. The Bible doesn't record that. The Bible does record angels speaking to people, God sending angels to speak to people at different times, deliver messages. They didn't have the Word of God, the complete Word of God that we have today. God doesn't send angels to speak to us today. We don't need that. We have the completed Word of God. During this time, God used that method. But it wasn't like a common occurrence. I'm sure Mary didn't talk to her friends and go, "Oh, did you see Susie down the road talking to the angel of the day? Yeah, I'm sure she told me about it." It just wasn't that common an occurrence. I can't imagine what it must have been like to be Mary and have this angel appear to her. Think about what he says. Look at verse 28 again. "And the angel said," "and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Wow. Highly favored. Let's stop there for just a moment. What does this mean? It means to be honored, to be given a great honor, to be graced with something. So it says that, "Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women," was his address to her. So Mary's a simple woman, and she's not royalty. She's not from a prominent family, the Bible doesn't say. And Nazareth wasn't the poorest area in all of Judea, and it wasn't the richest either. It was probably an average town of no great importance. So she wasn't from a very important area. Again, probably a young woman, no doubt looking forward to her new life, and then suddenly, boom, this address comes, and it says, "You are highly favored. You are going to receive a special honor." And it says, goes on to say there, "among women. Blessed art thou among women." Wow. Think about that for just a minute. Of all the women in the world, well, let's narrow that down, because the Savior wasn't going to come from just anywhere in the world. He was going to come from among the Jews, his people. So let's say of all the women in Israel, God chose her. Wow, that is an honor. I would say that. But we have to be careful. It does not say you are highly honored above other women. The Bible doesn't say that. It says that thou art highly, blessed art thou among women. Amongst all the women, God has chosen you. You have a responsibility. And it was a privilege, and we'll talk more about that later. But we need to be careful. Mary was not any greater than any other woman in Israel during this time. She wasn't any better than any other woman in Nazareth during this time. She was simply, we'll just say it, she was simply the one that God chose. Well, I wonder why. Well, we'll just have to keep wondering why. Because the Bible doesn't tell us, and we don't need to know that, or God would have told us that. He simply chose her for this task, for this job, for this privilege. So if we believe only the Bible, and that's what we're supposed to believe, if I'm supposed to teach you only what the Bible says, which I'm supposed to, then that's all we have and that's all we need. Look at verse 30 again. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Wow. Now here it goes on again. "Thou found favor with God." She was chosen and accepted. The meaning here is she was chosen and accepted by the Lord for a certain job, for a certain purpose. So Mary was not someone special, but yet chosen for a special purpose. We need to kind of be careful there, you know, that we don't make her into something that she is not supposed to be, but yet recognize who she is. She does play a role. She did play a role in the Lord's birth. Let's move on down a little bit. Think of verse 34. It says, "Then," this is Mary's address back to the angel, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Legitimate question. I've not been with a man. I am engaged, espoused to Joseph. He is my husband, in legal terms, you might say. But I've not been with him. I don't live with him. I've not been with him as a wife would be with a husband, as a man would be with a woman. I haven't been there yet. How can this be? This simple young girl says to the angel who speaks to her. Wow, you know, I've always thought about this story. I'd probably just sit there just in awe. You know, like, sound like an idiot. But she had enough grace about her. She was who God wanted her to be, to honestly ask an honest question when God addressed her. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I just need direction, she's saying. I just need direction. It was very legitimate. Look at verse 35, God's answer. I love this verse. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Wow. God always has an answer. Do you know that? Now the answer may not be what we want to hear. Oftentimes it's not. The answer may not be what we had in mind. We ask a question, and oftentimes before we even ask the question, we already have the answer figured out in our mind. This is what God's going to tell me. I know it is. But I don't believe Mary was thinking that way. I think she just wanted to know, how is this going to be, Lord? You asked me to do this thing for you, and how is it going to be? She just needed more understanding. But God always has an answer. You know, think about this answer. You know, we just read this verse and just kind of read right through it. But boy, this is incredible. Think about what Mary heard that day. It says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." Think about that for a moment. The power of the Highest shall over... This is God's power. This is not my power. I don't have much. This is not any form of power that man can create. This is not... any power that man has discovered from nature even. I mean, from electricity to all the way to nuclear energy. It's nothing even compared to that. This is God's power. "The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, completely cover thee, consume thee. Shall do for thee what God will have it to do," we might say. This is God's answer. Wow. Wonder how she handled that. Think about Mary's question just a moment for another aspect also. Was Mary's question because she lacked faith? Did she not understand? I think that was just simply the what was going on there. She just didn't understand it all. So she asked a question. There's nothing wrong with asking God questions when you don't understand. That doesn't mean that we don't have faith. It means that we don't understand. And we want further understanding. And God says, "You have not because you ask not." God says, "Ask and I will show you," over and over and over again in His Word. I think that's what Mary's honoring here. This thing that the angel had just described to her was impossible in human terms. It's impossible in human terms for this to happen. I cannot have a baby, God. It's not that she would not. She just realizes, I cannot have a baby. So she asked, "How could this be? How could this be?" Going on, look at verse 36. This is how God works. I like this passage too. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." As if the fact that you will be overshadowed by the power of the Highest, by God's power, that's how this will happen. Let me give you a little more assurance, Mary. You know your cousin Elizabeth, who's old, much older than you are, and past the age of having children, well, guess what? She's expecting a baby right now as well. And that thing, people say, is impossible too. But just in case you need a little more assurance, I'll do it for someone else as well, and show you through that. Just a little more assurance. I know the purpose behind that birth was, we know him today as John the Baptist, but another purpose was, right here, to show Mary that, you know, I'm God. And that's why he says the next verse, by the way, verse 37. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Nothing shall be impossible. Mary says, this thing is impossible. God says, well, power of the Highest will come upon thee. And not only that, your cousin is going through a similar thing right now. And they said that she was past having children too. Why? Because 37, verse 37. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Nothing shall be impossible. Wow. What a powerful, powerful message that is. Not just for Mary, but for us as well. Remember, I said to you, told you earlier that this is God's Word. He gave us His Word, His complete Word today. Which means that verse applied to Mary. God told her that, but the meaning is the same for you and I today. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." If He wants it to happen, it will happen. Because nothing shall be impossible with God. So here's Mary. So who was Mary? Here she is. Someone who believed God. She knew who God was. She believed on Him. A normal person. From a simple household. Not a very important person. a young lady, espoused to Joseph, ready to be married, ready to move on to her new life. Suddenly, she is given a great job, a great responsibility by the Lord. And she had legitimate questions. Again, questions are not wrong. We might say it this way, it's not that you question, it's what you do with the answers you receive. That's where our choice lies. But look at one more thing about Mary here. We'll skip down quite a bit in the same chapter 1. Look at verse 46. This is Mary speaking later. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Wow. Verse 47, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Mary realized what was going on in her life, and she's praising God here. Look again at verse 46. She says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary had believed on the Lord. God was her Savior. She believed in the Lord. She believed in God. Earlier, you know, we were talking about who Mary was not. And we need to be careful. It's taught in some places today, some teachings today, that Mary was more than what the Bible says she was. And that's sad. When man takes what God says and distorts it to his own image. And that's what man does. Because we're just sinful men and we're tempted to do that. But man takes what God's word says and wants to make something different of it. We already saw that about Mary. She was highly favored among women. Among women. Not above women. We don't put her in a place anywhere above any one of us. We cannot do that. The Bible doesn't say that. But she was chosen for a certain task. It was her privilege to be the mother of the Lord. To be the mother of her Lord. To be the mother of her own Lord and Savior. Wow. Notice something else as we, let's see. Verse 48. Verse 49. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." What do we see there? She's humble. Holy is his name. Holy is God's name. Mary needed God's help. Mary needed God's strength. Remember what she said earlier? "How can this be, Lord?" And after he explained to her that the power of the highest will overshadow thee, which must have been quite hard to take, then he simply said over in verse 37, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." That's it. Nothing shall be impossible. This was her answer. And you know what? Let's put this in our own place today. This must be our answer as well. This must be our answer as well. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." With me, I'll be honest with you, most things are impossible. In my own strength. I can do some things probably in my own strength. As long as the Lord decrees and decides not to take my strength away from me. But you know what? If I'm going to do anything for the Lord, there's the difference. Then I can't do anything for the Lord in my own strength. Mary knew she couldn't do this. She said, "It's physically impossible. I've never been with a man." That's one thing. And God had an answer for that. The power of the highest will overshadow thee. God will do this for you and will do this through you. You will be his servant. And that's really all Mary was. How about let's just leave it right there. You will be his servant for this job. Some people say, no. She had to be more. I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't say that. Let's don't make more of her than she is. But let's recognize her for who she was. An obedient servant of the Lord. And what a huge responsibility it was. I mean, the Bible makes it clear. Jesus was born a baby. And if you birth to a baby and you set it down out in the middle of the field and walk away, despite what we see in some cartoons and movies, wolves don't come and raise them and they don't live like that. They'll die because human babies need humans to nurture them and care for them. That's the way God intended it. And God knew that when his son came in that human form, he would need a human mother to care for him. And he chose this woman, chose Mary. He told her, Blessed art thou among women. And she was blessed. But you know what? She's not any more blessed or any less blessed than any one of us. Same Lord, same God, same principle. Nothing shall be impossible. Think about this. Mary had faith in the Lord before the angel even came. Because she says, God is my Savior. I believe on the Lord. He is my Savior. He was her Savior before the angel showed up. She just didn't suddenly, you know, the angel showed up at her bedside one day and go, now I believe in God because I've seen an angel. I'm sorry, that's not the way it works. Mary was a believer in the Lord, and that's why God privileged her with this responsibility, we might say. Think about something in the idea of Mary and her faith. A familiar passage over in the New Testament, I'll just read it for you. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says here, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. That's God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mary had faith, but when her faith was tested, what happened? You believe in God? Then the angel comes and says to her, you who have believed in God, something's going to happen to you that is beyond human understanding. That takes faith. That's one test of our faith, is things that go beyond human understanding. You will have a baby. That's impossible, Lord. How can this be? He answers her. She goes on and says, okay, you give me my answer. That's faith. You know what we do? We please the Lord through our faith in Him. We please the Lord through our faith in Him. And trusting Him. The Bible's full of other examples. You know, it's not the only, you know, example. Through doing the impossible. One day the Lord appeared to a man named Noah and said, I want you to build a large boat. Noah's in the big sign there said, Noah's boat building company. Noah didn't say that. There was no need for a boat. God's instructions went on to say, I'm going to flood the whole earth and destroy mankind because of their sinfulness. Waters will come and cover the whole earth. But that's never happened before, Lord. Noah said. No, the Bible doesn't record that. It records Noah saying, or doing, I should say, exactly what God told him to do. That took faith. Build a boat. I don't know where Noah's house was located. Whether it was near a large body of water anyway, I don't really know. But the size of boat that he built according to the Bible wouldn't really be functional for the family to go out on weekend boating trips, you might say. It had a purpose, and one purpose only, to carry on the life of this earth for Noah and his family and the animals that needed protection from God's judgment on the earth. And Noah fulfilled that promise. And the only way he could do that was what? By faith. He had to believe what God told him to do. Think about Abraham. The Bible says Abraham, you read the story there, back in Genesis, is living his life. He sounds like he's got a successful life. His family is doing well. And God tells him one day, he said, I'd like for you to pack up and move to somewhere where you've never been before. You don't know anything about it. And just go. And Abraham went. And we could spend hours and days and weeks talking about Abraham, couldn't we? And all that's recorded about him and all the times that he, by faith, obeyed the Lord. I'm going to make your generations so great, you can't even number them. It'd be like trying to number the grains of sand by the seaside. Try to count them. You can't do that. Well, you won't be able to number the numbers in your generations, Abraham. There'll be so many of them. But I only have one wife right now, and she's getting a lot older and doesn't have any children. We don't have any children. Yeah, he didn't say anything like that. Well, he talked about it a little bit with the Lord, but in the end, what did he do? By faith, he obeyed the Lord. And God did provide their child. And then shortly after that, God said, take that child, your only child, that promised child, and go to the top of the mountain and offer him for a sacrifice there. Again, Abraham said, let's go, son. We're going up. And do what God told us to do. And what does that take? Faith. And on and on and on and on and on, we could see examples throughout the Bible of people who did things like that. Because why? Because Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, God gave a young lady an answer one day in an impossible situation. An impossible situation, he gave her an answer. And he said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Some people say, you know, he is the God of the impossible. I like that. It says it right there. That's the truth. Paul met the Lord one day, didn't he, on the road one day? Paul, the Apostle Paul, met the Lord and changed his life completely. And went on to do great things. Surrendered to the Lord and went on. Why? By faith. And again, on and on and on. Traveled the world, Paul did, with a message. It's the same message that we have. It's the same message we have at this church. It's the same message that we have from this Bible that we give out here. Have faith and believe. Have faith in the Lord and believe. That's what Mary had. The same message 2,000 years ago when the angel appeared to this young lady. Have faith in me and believe what I tell you, and you'll be okay. And she didn't argue, and she didn't say, "I need a little more proof, God. I just can't really." She went on. And again, Luke chapter 2. "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." And that's where the Lord was born. And that's where his mother, her faith was made sight, we might say, where the Lord was born. Have faith and believe. You know what? God's real. We watched the movie the other day. I mean, God is not dead. Interesting presentation, interesting concept. Made me think a whole lot after watching that. But you know what? He's real. He really appeared to this young woman here 2,000 years ago, and in the form of this angel, sent this angel, his messenger, to her to give her a message. And you know what he does? The same type of thing today. Now, he doesn't send angels, but he does speak to us through our prayers, through our praying and asking him to speak to us, and through his word he speaks to us, speaks to our heart today and tells us a similar message. That message is, have faith and believe. Obey the Lord. Do what he says. Honor him. I won't honor you above other people, just like he didn't honor Mary above any other woman. But he did honor her among women, didn't he? And blessed her among women. It was a blessing. It was an honor to be able to be the Lord's mother. But she's just like you and I. Just a woman who had an opportunity, you might say, to obey the Lord. We have the same opportunity today. Will we obey him? Will we have faith and believe him? He wants to do great things with us as well. But we have that choice to make. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, God. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you again for this time of the year when we remember the birth of the Savior, God. Thank you so much for your Lord, for coming and dying in our place on the cross, for coming and being born in that manger. Thank you for calling your servant Mary to her task. You call us to task today as well, to jobs to do for you, to serve you. Lord, we need to have the same type of attitude. Lord, we need to have the same kind of heart. We need to be willing to have faith and believe and serve you as Mary did. It's in Jesus' name we pray.